streets they could see something different.
Any other local cities competing with green, orange, yellow, or any other color of the rainbow?
Not to our knowledge. This is kind of the first thing of this campaign that of our like. Our city council has kind of got together and started out with the idea and brainstormed and came up with a kind of a full-blown campaign of it. And we think that we are only one of the only cities in the nation that takes an active role in promoting our own businesses within our city.
Now, we're a long way from the days when you could just, you know, pull in the drawbridge. Is it working?
It has been working so far. The exciting thing is the excitement among our local business retailers that the city of Bethany is taking an active part in helping promote their business.
Why aren't people shopping in Bethany, or why were you afraid they would drift away?
Well, we think that we currently probably don't have all of the stores that we need to service all of our residents, and so we thought if we would start to promote the businesses that we have here locally, that we would also be able to create interest of businesses outside the Bethany city limits that they might want to come and be a part of the Bethany promotions and maybe offer some blue discounts or some blue specials or something like that.
So you're not quite sure, but you're hoping for the best.
Absolutely. We think it's going to be a very successful program.
Well, good luck, Steve Allen.
Well, thank you so much.
City Councilman Steve Allen, who owns Allen's Grill off U.S. Route 66 in the heart of Bethany, Oklahoma. The town has painted a blue stripe around the business district to promote local shopping. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Support for NPR comes from Procter & Gamble, makers of Metamucil Daily Fiber Therapy with 100% natural fiber for maintaining regularity the natural way. Metamucil.com. Roland and Carol Pample for support of the NPR Fund for New Initiatives, helping to develop NPR's new programming and new media. And Keen, helping clients manage business performance through business consulting, application development and integration, and application outsourcing. Keen, we get IT done. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Writer Pat Conroy survived his tough father only to contend with a tyrant of a basketball coach at the Citadel.
Nine of us, including myself, loved him. Three hated him. And all three of them had real talent as basketball players. Mel Brooks, the good ones.
Pat Conroy's new book, My Losing Season, tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition every weekday from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on KUSP, your NPR member station. Grey Wolf Computer Systems has provided a grant in support of this program. Grey Wolf Computer Systems offers custom computer systems and personalized service for repairs, upgrades, and networks in the East Cliff Village Shopping Center in Santa Cruz. It's 6:30 on October 14th, 2002. Time for Geek Speak. Welcome to Geek Speak, your weekly jolt of computer and internet technology. I am your host, Lyle Troxell. The views expressed on Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KUSP. Tonight, we're talking about the conscious car convergence, a new concept in bringing together owners of hybrid and electric vehicles and, well, alternative energy vehicles in Santa Cruz to kind of produce a community or to gather the community that's already there and let them be aware of each other. And on the show, we're going to have John Bjornstad, the founder of the event, talk about the event and why it's happening. Also in the air room, we have geek John Tracy. I'd welcome your calls to join us today on Geek Speak. The phone numbers are 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877.
This program is supported by a grant from Seagate Technology. Seagate is a worldwide supplier of disk drives for PCs and servers and innovations for products like the Microsoft Xbox, digital video recorders, and digital jukeboxes. Information is at Seagate.com.
Hey, John. Thank you very much for that.
Oh, it's Tracy. My pleasure.
And John Bjornstedt, welcome to Geek Speak.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for coming on, and thank you for doing this event. It sounds like quite a unique experience for the people that are going to participate.
I hope so.
Now, the event, the Conscious Car Convergence, is happening on Saturday, October 26th. I think I'm in September still.
You're a month behind.
It is October, right? Saturday, October 26th at 9 a.m. noon at the Santa Cruz County Building parking lot, Ocean and Water Street. And if people are interested in the web address, it's icogitate.com/TildaPrius. John, how long you own the Prius?
I've owned it since March of 2001.
And do you like it?
It's a fabulous car.
Now, is it a fabulous car from the perspective that it's a hybrid and, you know, it has its drawbacks, but it's still a good car? Or is it a fabulous car because it's just a fabulous car?
There aren't any drawbacks, really.
So there it is.
It's really no sacrifice, I feel, in driving it. It's quick, it's efficient, and it's clean. It's a very intelligent car.
And is it safe, too? I mean, does it have airbags and the whole deal?
Yep, it has airbags. I haven't been in any crashes, so I don't know exactly how safe it is, but it feels safe. It has very agile steering and brakes.
Yeah, it's got an awesome turning radius.
Now, actually, both of you, both Johns in the interim today, own Priuses.
Right.
Is it Priuses or Prii?
Or Prius.
Or Prius.
Like fish.
Prii.
Prii?
Is it more?
I don't know. We've had a big discussion about this with Miles.
It's a Latin word. It means to come before or to go before.
To go before. That's very apropos.
Okay.
So it's a Latin plural would be Prii, I guess.
So do you own a Prii or do you only own one Prius?
Just one.
Okay. Now, when you actually went into, John, when you went into purchasing a Prius, when you decided to go and get a new vehicle, why did you make the decision to go with the hybrid vehicle?
I was concerned about the environment, preserving what fossil fuels we have left, pollution. The Prius is a super ultra low emissions vehicle. So it's a very clean car.
And what does that mean? Because I've seen ultra-low emissions and low-emissions vehicles. And what's a super ultra-low? What's the difference between that and, say, just a regular car?
I'm not sure. What do you think?
Okay, that was a loaded question.
Let's see if Miles knows the answer. Hi, Miles. Welcome to Geek Speak. Come on down and grab a mic. Miles actually also has a Prius. John Tracy, you said something earlier about a super load vehicle, meaning that 100 of them equates to one normal vehicle.
Right. It's kind of a factor of 10, sort of, you know, the low emissions vehicle, the super low emissions vehicle, the ultra low emissions vehicle, and the super ultra low emissions vehicle. So, yeah.
Miles, do you know the definition of the super low emissions vehicle?
The super ultra low emissions vehicle?
Oh, sorry, super ultra low emissions vehicle.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I don't. Although I do know that stat where he's talking about
100 Priuses equal regular car.
Yeah, except that when you say a regular car, that's like the original Honda Civic,
right?
Which
is a fairly clean car to begin with.
Right.
Not as opposed to an SUV, which probably, you know, 1,000 Priuses produce as much pollution as a single SUV.
So, John Bjornstedt, why did you decide to produce this event?
This event, the Conscious Car Convergence.
The Conscious Car Convergence.
What sparked this idea?
There's a mailing list online, in Yahoo groups, for the Prius. And it's a great group, and there have been other Prius gatherings around the country. So I think I got the idea from that. But also, just in general, it's a, you know, birds of a feather flocking together sort of thing. When you pass another car like your own on the freeway or somewhere, you generally feel a sense of community with that person in the car.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I actually wave to people who are driving Priuses, and people wave back, and you look in their eye, and you know exactly that they're waving back to you because they know it's about the Prius.
Yes.
It's not about, you know, just a random person saying hi. It's, yes, I feel the same way you do.
There's a sense of community.
Yeah. Has this ever happened to you? You come out to get in your car, and there's like 3 or 4 middle-aged guys standing there talking about your car. This happened to me back when I first got the Prius, like back in, you know, 2000 or early 2001. I'd come out, and there'd be a bunch of guys talking about the Prius. And I'd you know, go, do you guys want to look inside? And then I'll pile inside and look at the engine. And it seemed like, you know, I'm always kind of a car nut. I was going to get a little sports car, and I got the Prius instead.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be I generate more interest in the Prius than I would have had gotten, you know, a hot little sports car and done a lot of stuff to it.
It's a new thing. It's unique.
Yeah. And I think you'd said this earlier. before we started the show about one of the reasons to buy a Prius. Toyota has developed this amazing hybrid technology. Mm-hmm. It's different from the Honda hybrid technology. I think Toyota is going in a much better direction, and it's neat to see a company doing that, and it's nice to support them in that, to show them, yeah, there's a big interest for this kind of stuff out there.
Right. It's not that expensive of a car either. I think Toyota is subsidizing the price to some degree.
Yeah, I've heard anywhere from $8,000 to $12,000 is lost per car they sell.
Right.
But in terms of buying it when it was still a new car, in its first model year, which both you and I, John, did. It's interesting in that when I was first saying that I wanted to buy the car back then, you had a 4-month wait before you got, mm-hmm. from the time you ordered your car to the time you got it. I had a bunch of people tell me, wait, I don't know about getting that whole hybrid thing. Like, I don't know. Like, if something goes wrong with it, how are you going to do it?
Right.
And frankly, I went to Toyota with a couple of those worries. Of course, they said, here's the warranty, you know.
8-year hybrid.
Yeah, it's quite ridiculous. And it was along the lines of, the cars are never going to get into mass production if no one wants to take that risk. If no one wants to step forward and say, yes, I can handle this. I
want to support this.
One of the things that actually sold it for me, because I'm also not the first to run out and get new technology. Okay, that's not true. At least in something like a vehicle. I read that there were already, by the time I bought my Prius in end of 2000, there were already 30,000 Priuses on the road in Japan.
Right.
And they'd been running them since 97.
Right.
So they'd had time to work out the kinks.
With a very good operational record, I might add.
Yeah.
When I purchased it, the other consideration was that it's a Toyota, which has an excellent reputation for reliability.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't risk their reputation on a vehicle that wasn't tested properly. It's proven to be superb. No problems at all.
Wait, would all of you agree with that? You like the
Toyota? I haven't had problems.
If there was one little tiny thing, what would it be?
I have my tires wear out at 15,000 miles, and then they sent me a letter saying, if your tires wore out, come in, you can get a whole brand new set of tires.
For free.
Yeah, it was,
that's great service.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a recall. It was a known defect with their low rolling resistance tires.
Right.
But considering the fact that you go in for regular checkups anyway, you know.
That are free.
Yeah. That
for a certain while anyway, yeah.
Yeah, for 2 years, I think.
When you said low resistance vehicle rolling tires.
Right. When you've got
a firmer tire.
Let me start with some basics. A hybrid vehicle uses gasoline and electric. It's got electric motor inside, and it's got a gasoline motor. It's got a 1.5-liter gas engine.
And you don't have to plug it in to charge the battery.
Yeah, and
good
you
point.
Never
very
have,
important
you
thing
never
to
have to plug it in to charge the batteries. It's got 38 sealed nickel metal hydride batteries sitting under the passenger seat, taking up a little bit of your trunk space. And those never have to be recharged because they're charged by the motor, the gas motor, and they're also charged by the braking. When you put on your brakes, about 20% of that energy goes back into the batteries.
Right.
That's nice.
Or if you're going downhill, you can put it into B mode.
Yeah, braking mode.
Yeah.
Or drive. It'll recapture energy
as you're coasting.
As well.
Yeah.
In D as well.
Yeah, it's quite nice when you're zooming down that hill, and instead of tapping the brakes, you can put it in a brake mode, and it starts to slow you down a bit, just enough to think, I'm generating electricity.
Yeah.
I'm not producing any pollution right now, and I'm generating electricity. How cool is that?
One other very cool thing is when it's in pure electric mode, then it's called stealth mode.
Right.
Completely.
Is that a technical term?
Yes. Uh-huh. In fact, when I give test drives to my friends, what I do is make sure the car is warmed up.
Right.
So that when I come to a stop, you know, the car goes,
Total silence.
Well, it's not total,
total silence.
It's not total silence because you hear the idling of the cars around you.
Right.
But that silence is very pure and very lovely.
It took me about a year and a half before I stopped giggling at red lights.
It is a good feeling to have that car silent at a red light. No, you're not wasting energy doing that.
Giggling at red lights, that's a good term.
No, I mean literally. I just
So that's what you hear when a Prius actually stops a red light, is the driver laughing.
Yes.
Because it's so great.
Yeah.
John, do you recommend this car for anybody that's going to be buying a car, or is there a certain type of person that is going to be into this car or not, or a hybrid in general?
I think, first of all, you have to be ready to buy a car. I'm not sure I would switch out an existing car for this one. unless when you buy a car, you've made an investment, right?
Right.
So that when you're ready to buy a car, then this is a very good choice, I would say.
And not just to be touting the Prius, because there are other alternatives out there.
Right.
If you're a single person going around commuting everywhere, you might want to seriously look at the Insight.
Right.
It's a two-seater. The Honda Insight. It's a two-seater. It's much smaller. It's a very light car. I think it weighs 1,600 pounds. It's all aluminum chassis.
Yeah.
And I think it gets better than 60 miles per gallon real world.
Yeah, it's kind of like a hybrid Geo Metro.
Exactly. Yeah, but it's got a little more kick than the Metro does.
The Prius is...
So does my dog.
The Toyota Prius is a much more practical car. It has room for four easily, trunk space. There's no sacrifice.
Does it fit in its own class of being a hybrid, or does it fit in the normal class of a four-door,
It's a four-door sedan.
Okay.
So when you go to purchase a Honda Civic, let's say, you're given with the choices of, what are they now, LX, DX, or hybrid. So mm-hmm. It's a trim line, and I think you pay, I don't know what the price of it is,
right.
But you pay a little bit more, and you can get the hybrid trim line, which comes with all of the great features mm-hmm. that you get in one of the other trim lines, and it's also a hybrid car, so you're going to get better gas mileage, lower emissions.
Is that a super ultra-low emissions vehicle?
It's an ultra-low emissions vehicle, not mm-hmm. a super. Toyota uses a lot of different tricks to get the super ultra-low.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know which of those Honda's incorporated and which they haven't. One of them is the, they have a pre-catalytic converter. They have at least two catalytic converters, one of which is designed to hold the initial gases in. The way a catalytic converter works is when it gets hot, it can convert, it has a catalyst inside it that helps break down the pollution. Help me out here, the carbon dioxide. It helps take out some of that, and it leaves it in there. And the catalyst... Okay, I'm not explaining
it's
this right now.
It's time for a break.
No, but wait, I'll get it.
You are listening to Geek Speak on KUSP. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP Santa Cruz, KBDA San Arter. We're on the web at kusp.org. You are listening to Geek Speak. We're talking about the conscious car convergence. And we have in the air room John Tracy, John Bjornstad, and Miles Elam, all owners of Priuses. John Bjornstad is gatherer or the organizer of the conscious car convergence.
The catalyst.
The catalyst. Good, John. That was good. The conscious car convergence is Saturday, October 26th, 9 a.m. to noon. Everyone that has a Prius, Insight, Civic Hybrid, Rav Electric, e-bikes, bicycles, bus riders, and pedestrians, you're welcome to come to this event. Take a look at the hybrid vehicles. Maybe share experiences with hybrid vehicles.
Take a test drive.
Test drive someone's. John, are you operating your car that day?
Definitely.
Oh, good. On the next Talk of the Bay, Deanna Zachary hosts a debate on Proposition 49, which addresses the funding before and after school programs. That's Talk of the Bay tomorrow at 6:30 here on KUSP. You can find out more information about local talk shows at kusp.org. I'm going to welcome people to call in and join our discussion today about hybrid vehicles, alternative transportation vehicles. The phone numbers are 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Again, that's 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877.
Okay, so did I explain that well enough?
Just like Coach.
I realized while I was explaining it, I didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
Well, that's okay.
But basically, it's able to keep those pollutants from getting out before the catalytic converter warms up. And then when the catalytic converter warms up, it sends it through there.
Right.
So it cleans it.
John, this event, there's going to be a whole few. You were talking about Yahoo events or Yahoo groups
right.
happening, and people are actually talking, and there's Prius groups happening all over the world.
Right.
And this event, you're hoping, is going to be a local gathering of people
right.
in hybrid. Are you trying to what are you trying to get out of this? Besides the personal experience of being around more people that are like-minded that have vehicles in this nature, what else? What's your larger goal for this?
To get rid of all the SUVs on the road. That's my ultimate aim. But that probably won't happen in my lifetime.
Now, why do you want to do that? What's wrong with SUVs?
As a single-person commute vehicle, an SUV is a highly impractical creature.
Yeah.
My main issue, actually, is when I go to the grocery store and I have a Ford Excursion next to me that's taking up basically two lanes or two parking spaces because it's just too big to fit in the spot.
Yeah. I'm curious whether the SUV phenomenon is happening in other countries as well. I think it's a purely American thing. I think it's
another
sign of the American arrogance in the world, I'd say.
Yeah.
When you have to pay more than $3 per gallon of gasoline, you tend not to drive cars that large.
Yeah. Right. We're getting subsidized gasoline, and therefore large vehicles doesn't affect us as much.
Right.
But, I mean, when we're talking about gas mileage, let's talk about a general SUV gas mileage. We're talking 15 miles per gallon city.
Some of them get up to 18, 22.
22, 18, but some of them are less than 15. So 15 being the middle ground, 15 miles a gallon. How much does a Prius run on gas? How far? 50?
Miles per gallon?
Miles per gallon.
The rating by the EPA is 45 to 52.
So even at low rating of 45, you're talking about quite a difference between a large vehicle and a Prius, even though you can still fit five adults in a Prius.
Yes.
That's not really a fair comparison.
Why not?
Because you're comparing apples and oranges, SUVs to sedans. If you want to compare...
I'm talking about SUVs, though, in a sense of how Americans use them.
As a sedan.
Yeah, I support an SUV in a situation where, I don't know, you're a farmer and you have to go out into the field a lot and you're gonna tow something.
Sure.
And maybe you also have a family and you're going to take them to school in the morning.
So you hook up your Lexus SUV.
Right. That's the thing, is the cars are not that way. I mean, you look at most of these cars, they don't have any dirt on them.
Yeah.
They're a sedan with a really large frame and more pollutants, less gas mileage, and, of course, higher accidents. I mean, it's a pretty nasty situation. And then you sit, I'm going to ramble. I'll let you talk, John.
Sure.
What are your feelings about the SUVs? I mean, why don't you like them?
I think mostly because it increases our dependence on foreign oil and all the unintended consequences thereof as part of it.
That was about what I was about to go into, yeah, exactly.
It's the trend is the wrong direction. And the hybrids, the more efficient vehicles, are definitely a more positive way to go.
Yeah. Whatever happened to electric vehicles? I was all set to be driving an electric vehicle in the year 2000.
I wanted a flying car. What happened to that?
there's a person in town who owns a Toyota RAV electric. I certainly hope he comes to this gathering. I talked with him briefly one day. He has a solar panel on his roof.
Of the RAV?
Yep. Hmm. Which he has the solar panel on his house.
Okay.
Which then he charges up his vehicle. So he's totally zero emissions. Total. That's the ideal.
That's pretty sweet.
That is one of the fallacies of the electric vehicle, is that it's a zero emissions vehicle. It's actually a remote emissions vehicle.
Right.
And it's nice because it keeps non-source point pollution from happening, which means a lot of different points that produce pollution. Instead, you've got all your pollution in one place, which is where the power is generated, Moss Landing for us.
Right.
And then you can scrub that really well.
Right.
We have Keith from Monterey. Hello, Keith. Welcome to Geek Speak.
Hey, how's it going?
Quite well.
I'm tooling around in my Toyota Prius right now.
Congratulations.
I like it quite a bit. I got it up.
And you're on a cell phone, obviously.
Yeah.
you're actually cutting out, Keith. I thank you for the call, but we're going to have to go on to somebody else. I'm assuming he was going to talk rave reviews about the Prius because it's a great vehicle.
Maybe he'll call back.
Yeah. Keith, if you can, that'd be great. Well, we'll jump right on to Sharon. Shannon. Hello, Shannon. Welcome to GeekSpeak.
Shannon. Yes.
Hi. How do you pronounce your name?
What's that?
How do you pronounce your name?
Shannon.
Shannon. Welcome to GeekSpeak.
Thanks. I had a question for you guys. I don't know if anybody would be able to answer it, but why do they use a just standard combustion engine? I know it's only like one cylinder or two cylinders, as opposed to Volkswagen has a number of TDI diesel engines.
Mm-hmm.
A diesel engine usually gets a lot better gas mileage than a standard combustion engine.
It's for the emissions. A diesel doesn't get nearly as good as emissions as a well-cleaned gas vehicle can, although I know diesel emissions are coming down in passenger vehicles.
Mm-hmm. And actually the Prius has a four-cylinder engine.
Yeah, and the Prius does have a 1.5-liter four-cylinder engine.
Oh, it does have a four in it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Japanese version has a three-cylinder.
Uh-huh, okay.
But the American version has four.
I think I think the Volkswagen TDI is another good step to take.
What is TDI?
Something turbo diesel injected. I may have my acronyms wrong on that.
Another positive step.
I would say one other aspect about, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but on a Toyota offering, let's say on a Toyota offering a normal gas hybrid versus a diesel hybrid, is that you already have that bump, that that burden from, oh, should I go for a hybrid? You don't want to also add on, oh, I have to go to a diesel. People that are in a gas environment always, they don't necessarily know how many diesel stations are available, even though every gas station has diesel. So that's another hurdle to jump.
But I understand what you're saying. You would, you could up the gas mileage if you went to diesel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I also read in like a Popular Mechanics. Mm-hmm. They had a thing saying that I think in 2003, a number of the truck manufacturers are going to be coming out with limited quantities of hybrids. Like Chevy is going to be coming out with one with a six-cylinder engine in it, and Dodge is going to be coming out with their all these trucks that are extended cabs.
Right.
And Dodge is coming out with the actual straight eight-cylinder with the hybrid.
And I think
thank
that's
you,
in
for the call.
And I think that one's in the Durango. And the thinking behind those is you've got a vehicle that gets 18 miles per gallon.
Or eight.
Okay, let's say it gets 10. So instead of 10, it gets 15. You've just increased it by 50%. So that vehicle's now getting 50% better fuel.
Right. It's a good deal.
It is. It's much better. Larry from Aptos, hi. So why aren't people offering larger vehicles, right?
Yeah, well, my question is actually there doesn't seem to be on the market right now something like a Ford Escort, Mercury Tracer, you know, the Saturn station wagon, that size. I mean, I need a station wagon, a small one. I've got a Saturn right now. I'd love to dump it and get something with a hybrid, and the only thing I can see is, like, getting the Toyota Prius customized somehow and tearing out the back seat.
Yeah.
Wasn't Ford going to come out?
The Ford Escape.
Yeah, what's going on with that? Because I looked at a magazine lately, and it wasn't in there.
I just got a note from my wife's uncle works for a company. I won't name any names, but he said that Ford has canceled their electric program. Now, as to whether this affects the hybrids, I don't know. I've also heard that the Ford is leasing the Toyota hybrid system. So this may put the Escape, I think it was scheduled for release next year.
Well, see, we're about to get cheaper oil, so therefore.
I don't know if that put it back or not. I don't know where the Escape lies, but I've been waiting to see it.
That's great. So what I want to buy isn't available again for who knows how long.
I like the idea of customizing a Prius.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You could probably go to a limo company and see if they'll stretch it for you.
I emailed Toyota about this already, and they came back with we have no plans to make something like that, because actually in 1996, that was the last year they built something like a small station wagon.
Yeah, they went to SUVs.
Yeah.
They are coming out with the Estima. It's currently out in Japan, and the Estima is just another name for the, what do we have, the Sienna or the Previa, whatever. It's the minivan.
Is it a hybrid?
Yeah, it's an all-wheel drive hybrid minivan.
How big would that be then, like a Forester size or what?
Bigger than a Forester. It's the standard, what is it, the Sienna or the Previa? Isn't that the current
The problem
size?
Is it's not in the United States, it's in Japan.
Yeah, you can't get it here
anyway. Unless you have a big surfboard.
There are plans to bring it to the United States, but I don't know when. I wouldn't count on it within the next couple of years.
So we have four to thank for not having this technology yet. Great.
Well
you know, I guess maybe I'm just going to have to go and buy a Prius and have somebody do some work on it, because that's the only, you know, and I'd rather have a Toyota than a Ford anyway. I've had Toyotas, and they're great cars. And Saturns, yikes. Don't ever buy one. Even if they come out with a hybrid, it'd probably still be a botched up car.
Larry, thank you very much for your call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The views expressed on Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KOSP. You know, this is a perfect thing, though. Larry is looking at purchasing a car. He wants a large enough vehicle to fit a surfboard. Larry, bring your smallest surfboard down to this event on Saturday, October 26th from 9 to noon, and see if someone will let you try to put your surfboard in a Prius.
Could you put the surfboard on top?
The problem is people steal them, I think. And that's my guess. Growing up in Santa Cruz, that's what I would call.
Tell them not to do that.
Okay, yes. Write a note.
I drive a nice car. I drive a hybrid. I'm trying to be nice to the environment. Please don't steal my surfboard.
Hello, Lance. Welcome to Geek Speak.
Yeah, hello. My question's on batteries. How long do they last, and how much do they cost to replace?
That is the Achilles heel of the Prius. The battery warranty is for 8 years, which I'm guessing means your batteries are probably going to last about 8 years. Current battery technology to replace the entire 38 batteries would be about $8,000 to $10,000.
And do they? What's the pattern as they wear out? Do they wear out
individually or not?
No idea. I guess you could have a bad cell, in which case you'd be covered under warranty. but my guess is that it would be wearing out as a block, but I don't know. I haven't heard any data come back on that yet.
With some batteries, when you go to charge them up, you end up having to charge them up more and more and more and more to get just a little bit of juice out of them.
They produce some memory.
Yeah.
Is that true with nickel metal hydride?
Yeah, nickel metal hydrides were much less than you would for
like
a
CAD.
Hence the 8 years.
Yeah.
I mean, the truth of the matter is you've got a chemical reaction going back and forth, and it's going to build up crystalline structures, and it's going to block itself, and therefore eventually it's going to fail. But it'll probably do it slowly, I would assume. It'll just start getting worse mileage.
I think so.
That's my guess.
Good question, though, to come to this event.
Okay,
because someone there will know. Thank you very much for the call.
Bye.
And we're going to get to one more call today. Hello, Paul. Welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hi. My name is Paul. I'm calling in reference to two articles that were in the San Francisco Chronicle on October the 10th.
Great.
One was a front-page article about the Bush administration siding with the auto companies against the lawsuit that the state of California has against the companies for not producing more electric cars, which is I'm sure everyone finds so ironic that the Bush administration would back them over us, but right. Who knows. And then there was another article that was talking about, it was called Pulling the Plug, and it was all about how the car companies are now saying, well, we're not going to make any more cars anymore because nobody wants to buy them. Full loney.
Right.
So if anybody would like to look those articles up, I'm actually going to make some prints of them myself, and I would like to show up at this. Where is this car thing going to be again?
Great question.
It's at the county building. It's the corner of Ocean and Water. In the parking lot there.
Okay, great. And what day is that going to be again?
Saturday, October 26th from 9 to noon. And actually, thank you. I hope to see you there, Paul. At noon, I look forward to seeing the caravan through Santa Cruz. That should be cool.
Yeah. What else do cars do?
But drive.
At a gathering, but have a parade. You know?
I want to make
should
sure
be
that...
fun.
I hope you're the lead car and you go slow enough so no one's engine turns on for a while. You get like a complete silence of 30 or 40 cars driving down the road.
That'd be
and
fantastic.
That's actually true, but about the Prius, when it's warm and you go slow enough, the electric motor's going to go before the gas turns on.
Right.
John does that all the time at my driveway, and it's very eerie.
It's cool.
John, was there anything else you want to talk about before we wrap it up for the day? We're out of time.
I don't think so. All people are welcome to this gathering, including people that don't drive at all, which is a good move as well.
Especially that's the ultimate fuel conservation.
Yep.
Bicyclists, welcome.
Pedestrians as well.
And can I give out your phone number? Is that okay, John?
Sure.
If people are interested in contacting John Bjornstad about the event, 831-460-2648. John, I want to thank you very much for being on GeekSpeak today.
Thanks for having me.
Miles and John Tracy, thank you very much for being on GeekSpeak today.
Always a pleasure.
And I'll see you all on October 26th, 9 a.m. to noon, Santa Cruz County Building, Ocean and Water in downtown Santa Cruz, and looking at the alternative vehicles that we have in the country and the world. Thank you, Maggie, for answering the phones. A happy one-year birthday to my son Wyatt tomorrow. We'll be back next week. Until then, stay tuned for wonderful programming, including Two Steps in the Blues with Charlie Lang coming up next. But first...
This program is supported by a grant from Seagate Technology. Seagate is a worldwide supplier of disk drives for PCs and servers and innovations for products like the Microsoft Xbox, digital video recorders, and digital jukeboxes. Information is at Seagate.com.
Stay tuned now for Stardate.
Stardate, October 14. Golden sunshine bathes the landscape on autumn afternoons. But that warm glow represents only a fraction of the broad spectrum of energy that fills the universe. Astronomers are interested in the full spectrum because each slice reveals something different about the universe. A European satellite scheduled for launch as early as this week